When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
And welcome to another podcast. It's LiceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like Madison Teepsters, Local 695, also Madison Teachers Incorporated, and our friends at Madison Firefighters, Local 311. Joining us now with the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, it's Amy Miazelko. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
All right, you're the vice president of the union, is that correct?
I am.
So, let me just play. Needless to say, you've been in the news the last week.
Just for a couple of days or so.
Yeah. Well, let me play a little bit of the coverage from WTMJ4 in Milwaukee.
The battle in MPS is getting nasty. Inappropriate language at last night's meeting has people calling for a school board director to step down.
Kristen Byrne is live outside Washington Park Senior Center, where another meeting is happening right now. Kristen.
Yeah, Katie, tonight's meeting just started about a half hour ago. Parents, teachers, community members will be talking about the proposed budget cuts to MPS. So parents and teachers are here, not school members, and that might be a good thing considering what happened last night. The MPS budget cut debate between the school board and teachers already emotionally charged. Last night, it reached a new level.
Check yourself! You take a break.
4 hours into a nine-hour school board meeting, the vice president of the teachers' union addressed the board, specifically Director Michael Bonds, telling him not to pit teachers and families against one another.
This is my time.
There should be an apology to the 77,000 students of this district that he drug through the mud last night.
Ms. Yoko says the insult came after Bonds made a motion to use money for teachers' raises and put it toward transportation. We spoke with Bonds over the phone.
Why did you tell her to go to hell?
It just came out, because she yelled at me 3 times.
Cell phone video of the exchange has been shared hundreds of times on Facebook, many calling for Bonds to step down.
Do you think she deserves an apology for that or that you should face any disciplinary action?
No. If anything, I deserve an apology for how she came there and the way she attacked me.
The teachers' union wants the school board to act swiftly against Bonds. The board president apologized for this outburst, saying that it was, quote, unacceptable to use inappropriate language. It's unclear if Michael Bonds, though, will face any disciplinary action. Live in Milwaukee, Kristen Byrne, today's TMJ4.
All right.
Now, Amy. Amy Miazelko, you are a teacher. If one of your students said it just burst out, would you accept that?
No, that's unacceptable behavior from any elementary school student that I ever taught. It's not appropriate. It's not okay. There are consequences for that.
So, unfortunately, the TV station didn't play what you were saying. You weren't yelling at him. You weren't being inappropriate. You weren't being impolite. So I'm going to play that so people kind of have an idea of what you're talking about. Here we go.
It's really a pleasure to be in a room here tonight with so many wonderful MPS families. We support funding for citywide transportation for our students, and the $2 million that it will cost to do that is nothing. This is a $1 billion budget. But MPS students need $2 billion. In 29 weeks from tonight, I don't know if everybody has it in their calendar, this state gets to vote for a governor who's going to proudly fund Wisconsin public schools. But until then, MPS educators, the MTEA, we are here to work in unity and solidarity with the Milwaukee Public School families who are here behind me. So stop propagating the idea that transportation can only be had at the expense of education workers' compensation. Stop incessantly trying to pit families and educators against one another. No one in this room will be pit against each other, Director Bynes. This is my time. This is my time.
No, you go to hell. You call my name.
Director Bynes.
Oh, I should go to hell. Here, you should go to hell.
So he didn't say it once, he said it twice.
He did say it twice. And he stood up and then disparaged students and educators and families sitting there in the auditorium.
Didn't he say something about test scores?
He did, and it's not the first time. He blamed children who have suffered at the hands of state legislature that has starved them of basic resources that they need to learn.
This man's not just the school board president. He is also a professor, right? An associate professor at UWM, or has been, right?
He is former school board president. He is not currently the school board president.
Right.
But yes, he is a professor at UW-Milwaukee.
Whew. Okay, so let's get to the nuts and bolts. The budget's going to be coming out. The school board, obviously the president of MPS is leaving, but she's about to propose a budget that you obviously have deep concerns about it. I was reading the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel piece. It looks like some pretty serious slashing.
It's shocking, actually. The Milwaukee Public Schools is the largest school district in the state of Wisconsin. We have 76,000 students, and the proposals that have been laid out thus far by the administration are some of the most shocking since Act 10. And I've been a teacher in Milwaukee Public Schools for 26 years, and I've never seen a proposal like this in terms of health care. So the administration is trying to force any education worker's spouse off of their health care proposal. So any spouse who has health care from another employer, no matter the quality of that care or the cost of that care, that person is forced off. Every single school is being asked to force to cut 5% more. And this is after multiple years of slashing budgets. And so there's nothing left to cut. We have teachers who are being told that next year there will be no paper purchased. And that if there will be
Did you say paper?
That's right. We have teachers being told that if there's going to be paper in their classrooms, it will be out of their pocket. They will have to provide that.
This is after they're cutting their spouse's health care.
This is after cutting their spouse's health care. This is after the draconian measures of Act 10 that took people down about $10,000 per year in terms of cuts to health care benefits and pension. And, you know, let's be clear. My very first year in Milwaukee Public Schools at Lee Elementary School, I was 22 years old. I earned $24,000 a year as a first-year teacher. And at that time, I was spending $1,000 a year to assist my students and their families in meeting basic, minimal human needs. So teachers and educators have been, digging in their pockets forever.
I've seen it firsthand. I know it from when we were talking about this before we started recording the podcast. That's where my mother taught before I was born. And I know that she paid for school supplies back in the 1950s. It's pretty remarkable. Of course, back then, there was no union. Now we have a governor that goes after unions. We have a school board that clearly doesn't respect the teachers. And yet, they want you to keep taking money out of your pocket to make up for their deficiencies. So some would say, okay, well, obviously, MPS just doesn't have the money. Do you buy that?
So we have two problems. We have a state-level funding formula problem and a governor and a legislature that has willfully used every tool at their disposal to break and bankrupt public schools across the state. So public schools in Milwaukee have been uniquely under attack from this legislature. But there are school districts in northern Wisconsin and in rural areas at the brink of bankruptcy because they have been starved on purpose by this legislature.
Well, some of the rural districts that surround Madison here have either had to merge or they're gone.
Exactly. And the services, we've seen West Virginia, Oklahoma, stirring in Kentucky, and now we see Arizona standing up as well. These are not isolated stories. This is a national story of the public infrastructure, public schools, the public sphere being starved. And I said this about a week ago, that the cat's out of the bag. If people thought that it was just in West Virginia where there were 42 children in a classroom but only 30 textbooks, that's not true. That's happening everywhere. We have classrooms that don't have enough desks. We have classrooms that don't have enough textbooks. We have classrooms, we have school nurses who don't have Band-Aids to give to children unless they purchase them on their own, and they do. So what I want to convey to everyone is that this is not a world that we have to live. We have choices. And the children of this state and the students of Milwaukee Public Schools in particular deserve far more and far better. And people are ready to demand that and to insist on that, not walk back.
If they're talking about cutting transportation for students by $1 million, have I got that right?
There are a couple of transportation proposals on the table. The one that I was speaking to on Tuesday night was specifically providing some citywide busing for several hundred students across the district. And what was being propagated on that night was that the only way we could continue that busing was if we took that money out of a pot of cost of living raises for public education workers. And what came out of that night was that I listened to family after family walk up to the microphone and say, we need our transportation and we need you to take care of the people who teach our children. And parents, families, educators, the MTEA, students, we're all on the same side. We're not divided. We're united. And we know that we can win at the state level together. But in terms of what's happening with this particular budget, this locally proposed budget by this administration, who is leaving in a few weeks, this is not, we can make better choices. This administration and school board elected to spend $4.5 million on an upgraded phone system for central office, $1 million on school uniforms.
Well, I don't know, maybe you disagree with me, but I am not for school uniforms. I don't think school uniforms are a good idea at all.
I don't think uniforms belong in a public school.
Right.
And I can think in these really difficult budgetary times, I can think of, I know what $1 million does. $1 million hires 10 reading specialists to help children who are struggling to learn how to read in elementary school. That's what this union is looking for, are how do we take care of children in classrooms and how do we make sure that the people who are charged and honored to teach them have what they need to do that.
We'll pick it up from there. We'll take a quick break. We're speaking with Amy Mizielko. She's the vice president of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association here at SlysOffice.com.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695. Or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, 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 and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who's going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors, local businesses like S&I Remodeling, Madison Computer Works, and St. Vincent de Paul. Our guest today is Amy Mizielko. She's the vice president of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. Amy, we probably should have talked about this from the very beginning. There is an event coming up this week. At the time we're recording this podcast, it will be this coming Tuesday at 51st and Vliet on Milwaukee's North Side. Explain.
That's absolutely right. About 2 weeks ago, we had a record-breaking turnout to the school board with over 1,200 people flooding the auditorium, overflowing the overflow room, and moving into several other rooms and lining the hallways for a very simple demand for a budget that doesn't harm students and doesn't harm educators. And on Tuesday, April 24th, from 4:30 to 6:30, we have asked for every public school supporter that can get to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to 51st and Vliet, to join the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, to join students and families, to make our position absolutely clear that we will not waver in our demand for a budget that takes care of students and takes care of educators. We are hearing that we have very large groups coming from parent groups across the city, North Side and South Side, and even folks coming from other nearby towns and other unions joining us, faith community joining us, coalition groups joining us, and we want anyone who can hear this, who cares about public schools and cares about our students, to join us on Tuesday, the 24th, from 4:30 to 6:30.
Yeah, so if you're in Madison or Racine or Kenosha or Janesville or Sheboygan or Manitowoc, anything even close, get there.
Definitely get there. It is going to be one of the biggest pickets and showings that we've seen for public schools, I think, since Act 10. And we're looking forward to standing as one Milwaukee Public School family and in solidarity and to winning this short-term budget fight, but looking ahead to 6 months up the road here where we can make Wisconsin proud again and fund our public schools and take care of our students. We can do better.
I'm sure you've read the stories, Amy, about teacher shortages, fewer people going into education. When my mother went to Milwaukee State Teachers College, which is now UWM, it was essentially through scholarships. She hardly had to pay anything. To get a teaching degree at a state university now, you have to spend a lot of money. Kind of hard to pay that back when your wage is stagnating or being set at an unusually low level. Is that not right?
The drop in enrollment to teacher preparation programs across Wisconsin has been significant. It is a direct result of Act 10, and it is by design. The work of the Republican Party to privatize education, to make this work that is actually not a profession anymore, that can be done by a revolving door of transient workers and people who will stay for a year or two, like Teach for America folks. And I just want to say, I'm critical of the program. I'm not critical of the individuals who take part in Teach for America. We have Teach for America teachers in our union. But this is a national onslaught to benefit the 1% and to defund the public sphere. I have a friend who just messaged me a couple of days ago to let me know that she is putting in her resignation. and leaving the district to go to another district that's going to pay her substantially more. And we have to find a way, and I know that we can. Milwaukee Public Schools is my professional home. I will not leave it. There are 4,700 members of this union who have declared that Milwaukee Public Schools is their professional home and that these are our students, and we will not leave them. But we have to turn this thing around, and we have to do that. We have to do that together with our families and students and a new administration.
I think the point you were making a really good point, and this is, you know, the likes of Charlie Sykes and Mark Belling have done a really good job of making it seem like teachers advocating for decent pay and benefits is mutually exclusive from students getting a good education. They've tried to make one the enemy of the other. And obviously the school board now has fed into that, and they're taking advantage of it, and they're taking advantage of you.
You know, Michael Bonds doesn't speak for the school board. He is a representative of the school board. I hold out hope that there are...
enough members?
Yeah, that there are brave and courageous members who take their duty seriously and can pass a budget that is respectful to education workers, that doesn't hurt students. And to move forward with this new administration and with our union to make Milwaukee a place that people want to come to and stay, because that kind of stability is absolutely necessary for our students.
Tell me about the money that's gone into these voucher programs. State Representative Chris Taylor has told me over the years she's gone to some of these schools, and she was absolutely horrified at the conditions and the shoddy buildings that kids are being taught in, and that they're really not being they're really not being taught how to learn. They're just essentially being programmed.
The private voucher system in Wisconsin is truly the state of Wisconsin's shame. This is legalized corruption. This is the use of public tax dollars to fund oftentimes religious, private institutions, which are highly unregulated, that do not, on the whole, outperform public schools, and oftentimes are, as you mentioned in your conversation with Chris Taylor, the conditions are abhorrent. And so in Milwaukee, what that looks like is storefront fake schools that don't have certified teachers. It might look like a school that's in a strip mall adjacent to a liquor store. It can look like a school, an elementary school with no playground for children to go outside and run around and play. And this state has to stand up and say no, that they want their public schools funded. Public schools are the only schools that accept and welcome every single child, any family, every single day, whatever the gifts and talents or challenges of that child may be. And those are the schools that need to be, it's our constitutional duty. Voucher schools can and do turn away students and families that they don't want to serve. They do vigorous screening at the front end, vigorous gatekeeping at the front end, and if they make a mistake and a student or family gets in that they don't want to serve, a student that might have more learning or behavioral challenges than they want to deal with, they kick them out and they come back to us. They come back to the public schools, and we welcome them because that's our job. That's what we do.
What would you say to the constant propaganda being put out on talk radio or some of the other Bradley Foundation apparatuses where they say, yeah, we've thrown a lot of money at public education, and the teachers union and their model doesn't work. It's wasting money.
There's a study called the 90-90-90 study that looks at Milwaukee Public Schools, in particular, schools who were 90% free lunch, so students and families living in significant poverty, who, when properly resourced in the 90s, were performing at basic to proficient in basic core subject areas. So when we do properly resource children in their learning and make up, especially for sometimes a lack of opportunity, especially in cities or in extreme rural areas where families are struggling economically, there's clear evidence that children learn. But when those resources are removed, when children don't have a full-time social worker, a guidance counselor, a full-time nurse, when children don't have the opportunity to work with a librarian, when they don't have a chance to work with a reading specialist if they're having some struggles in learning to read, then their learning suffers and class sizes increase. But again, this is not something that we can't turn around. There are states that proudly embrace their public schools and their duty and obligation to take care of the children in their state, and we can do that too. I believe that the work of teaching right now, the right wing and the Koch brothers and Scott Walker, the Bradley Foundation, have done great work in trying to make an argument for starving a public system and then blaming that system for not performing. But the as I said before, the cat's out of the bag.
Right.
The lie has been uncovered state after state. And Wisconsin and the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association and allies, we've known all along that this is a lie. We've known that when students have what they need, they perform and they do well. And we see it as our duty to make sure that they get that.
The sad thing is that if you read some of the writings of Dr. Michael Rosen, that in fact, union busting, free trade, deindustrialization, and the attacks on workers throughout Milwaukee over the last 40, 50 years has already put Milwaukee in crisis. And then, you know, once the schools started having problems because of economic decline, then the very same people that busted the unions pointed the fingers at you.
That's right. That's right. Ever since Act 10, it's clear that Scott Walker and the Republican legislature meant to kill and destroy not only unions, but really and truly the craft and the profession of teaching, which I and my fellow union sisters and brothers take very seriously. We are people with multiple college degrees. We're hardworking, and we could do many, there are many vocations that we could undertake, but we want to teach. And we see that as a profession, and we see that as a life, as lifelong work. We see it as a craft that we work on and fine tune over time. But I think that it's clear that the right sees it as an opportunity to make profit.
That's right.
And they see it as an opportunity to privatize.
Well,
and,
let's just reiterate what's going to be happening again. Once again, picket to defend our schools, Milwaukee, Vliet Street, 51st and Vliet, actually 5225 West Vliet. This is once again going to be Tuesday from 4:30 to 6:30.
It is. And let me just say, it's going to be a joyful time. It's going to be a time to remember and a time that folks in Wisconsin have an opportunity to stand on the right side of history for our students and for public schools. So we really do extend a warm welcome and ask people to stand with us and to stand with our students. Our students are depending on our resolve and our willingness to resist with them.
Amy Mizielko, Vice President of the Milwaukee Teachers Association, Education Association. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.